This is Corey Gray and Tony Stewart from Hairdistry. Thank you for tuning in to the Hairdressers Podcast. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey y'all, this is Patty, Queen of the South. I just wanted to take a second to let y'all know how much Schedulicity has truly changed my life. Not only does it keep my clients involved and informed with everything going on through texts and emails, it also allows me to take payment using the app at a lower fee cost than any other app I've ever used. And as a family and a business, Schedulicity is truly there for you and really goes out of their way to make sure that you have exactly what you need to be successful as a business owner. And I mean, it's beautiful energy, y'all. It's so nice to be around people who kind of get it, you know? And for that reason, I'm so grateful for Schedulicity and everything that they continue to do for me and my business. So if y'all have a second today, check out Schedulicity. Love and light, y'all.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Natuno, and this amazing podcast is brought to you by Schedulicity.
Your day off. My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my boy Tony. What up, dog?
What's going on, brother?
Chilling, man. I'm excited about today. Once again, we have a big, big artist on our on the podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of a happy, sad type situation because we've been wanting to do our guests live for so long, but of course, nothing's live.
Yeah, nothing's live. So our guest today, people have heard us talk about Sharon and the Risers over at the Temple. So he's a regular guest over there. He's a regular educator over there. So we've always wanted to kind of either do it there, or we've talked during hair shows and stuff, and we wanted to do it live there. But you know, whatever, you know,
we'll settle for this.
We'll settle for this. Yeah, this is not much of a settle, but you know, we'll settle for this.
Yeah, but I'd rather slap fives.
You know, I would much rather slap five. You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for like the slap five and the like one-handed hug, you know, that like bring it in kind of feeling, you know. I can't wait for that. I haven't had that since March. If you're not in my family, I haven't gotten that.
You say I don't count, brother?
I don't know. Have we even hugged it out since March? I think probably not. Once or twice. I don't know. But yeah, of course you count. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for us just to feel open and free enough to do that kind of stuff,
right?
You know, in there. So when I talked about big artists, bro, this might be the biggest artist we've ever had. Because if you go to the hair shows, you know, he is, I would say heads above everybody else, but he is definitely like shoulders and above.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for me. You're taller than I am. You know what I mean? I might be hitting his like clavicle or something, right?
I know. I mean, my first question is, we'll get into it. So our guest today is John Mosley, more popularly known as the Popular Nobody. And I think one of the first questions I'm going to ask is how in the heck he came up with that Instagram handle as the Popular Nobody. But so if you've ever been to like a hair show, or if you've ever kind of like been to any of these live events and John's in the room, you can't miss him because the dude is like, I was going to say heads above everybody, but he's like, his shoulders are above everybody in the room. You cannot miss him in a crowded room.
Right. Well, come on. Enough about you and I. Yeah, let's bring this dude in and let's have a conversation, man.
So, Mr. John Mosley, the Popular Nobody, and yes, I want to know how you got that name. Welcome to your day off, man.
Man, I'm glad to even just have a day off. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're doing awesome. Really great.
Yeah, man. This has kind of been in the makings for a while. But you know, like when I said we settle, it wasn't settling to have him on. It was more or less settling to do it via Zoom.
Yeah, settling not doing it live.
Right. Yeah. Without slapping fives. But anyways, hey, John, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So, man, I grew up in California, a city called Lakewood. It's right next to Long Beach, California. That's where I grew up at, man. I went to junior high school and elementary school in Long Beach. And then in high school, I switched it and went to Lakewood High School. And when I started my barbering career, I started in Long Beach. So that's where I'm at. That's where I was raised. And now I shifted. I'm no longer in California. Now I'm in Texas.
What part
Everybody's
of Texas?
Everybody's going to Texas.
Tell me you're in Austin.
I'm in Dallas.
Not close enough, right?
Austin is a little too weird for me, bro.
Weird how?
That's the mantra of the city. Keep Austin weird. Like, the people thrive in keeping it weird. I don't know why, but hey.
Isn't Matthew McConaughey from there? Isn't that where he's from?
I heard he don't wear deodorant. I don't know if that's true or not.
You know what? I've heard that same story.
That's weird.
That is weird, right?
There it is.
Touche.
Right.
What part? Like, go ahead.
It got to be true, man. Two people done heard the same thing, and I got it from somebody else. So, hey.
Hey, and the best part is I heard firsthand. It wasn't like through a rumor. Like, I heard it firsthand through something. We'll talk later about who I heard it from. But yeah, I definitely heard that firsthand. What brought you to Dallas?
Just a different opportunity, bro. Like, different lifestyle, different everything. And then that's my girlfriend at the time lived there, and now my wife, you know. And so it was. In order to become a better father, husband, and business owner, you got to sometimes change your environment. And so for me, that's what it was. I just needed to get out of California. I started to feel like the fish in the fish tank, and I couldn't grow anymore. I was running out of oxygen. Space in the tank there wasn't enough room. I had to turn into a shark.
I love that. So how did you even find the barbering world or the hair world in general? Is this something that you know, did you have family in it or something that you always knew you wanted to do?
So it's ironic. My whole family is in the beauty industry. A lot of people don't know this, but my mother, Doris Mosley, she's been in the industry for 40 plus years. My sister, Lily, 20 plus years. My sister, Ann, she's right there, I think about 10, 15. No, she's 20 plus. And then myself, I'm 20 plus now. So, you know, it is just a family business, man. And I try to tell people all the time, the best ROI is family business. You get to hang out with your family and talk shop, talk business, and become innovative in your thought process. And so that's how I didn't want to do it, though. I was playing college football. I just got tired of getting hit by grown men for free. And I was trying to find a way to drop out of college. And I fucking dropped out.
Anyways, right?
Yeah.
Were you doing haircuts in the locker rooms and stuff?
Hell no. I never wanted to do hair in my life. Never. I never wanted to do hair because that was like my punishment as a kid growing up, was having to go to my mom's salon and sit there on the weekends while the homies was out playing and having fun. And so for me, it was kind of like, I don't ever want to touch hair, do hair, be around hair no more. And then I was like, well, I got a scapegoat. And it was hair.
So when you got out of, so that was like, that was your shift? Like, so went from college football to a barbershop?
Yeah, that was literally the shift.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's crazy, but it's kind of cool, right? So is it, I don't know, like, because obviously your sister and your mom, they're doing hair, right? And cosmetology. And you went to barbering, or do you do it all as well? Do you have a cosmetology license, or are you strictly just a barber?
I'm strictly just a barber, but I understand the concept around cosmetology and how they do things and see shapes and understand that. So for me as an educator, I had to learn their language in order to be able to teach to the masses. And that's how I locked in. So I get the concept, and whatever I don't know, I have the people around me that I can ask those questions to and get clarity.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's really clear. How did you become an educator?
So it's funny story.
You don't want to be an educator either, did you?
Actually, no.
the accidental educator.
Actually, so my mom is a hell of an educator, and so she threw me up on stage when I was in barber college and just had me teach, and then I kind of fell in love with it, and I started like going around to the junior colleges and the city colleges and giving up free men's cutting classes just around the city. And then it grew. And then one day Paul Mitchell called me and said that they heard about me. and they would like me to come in and do a men's guest artist spot. And I did that, and then boom, it took off from there.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, was it more or less the just being in front of everybody or changing lives or impacting people's lives?
I think for me, it's always been impacting people, being able to impact people. Like, you know, being on stages and stuff like that. Yeah, it's entertaining. And I got stories and I like to have fun on stage. But I think the way that I can impact somebody's life is totally different. And so that's what I get it around. I think people forget that we're in the people business. And so I know what I'm in. I'm in people business. And so if I can make people happy, if I can make people walk away from my class laughing and learning, I did my job.
Yeah. Preach. That kind of reminds me of a quote. Ray Kroc, the owner and the founder, I don't know if he's a founder, but the owner of McDonald's. He was once quoted, he was talking to like a business class, and he said, you know, what business am I in? And everybody's like, oh, you're in the restaurant business, or you're in the hamburger business, or you're in this and you're that. He goes, no, he goes, I'm in the real estate business because I own all the real estate on the best corners in America. And I thought,
yeah,
that's pretty genius there, Mr. Ray Kroc. You know, you're not the hamburger guy, you are the real estate guy. And think about it, like wherever he's set up is like prime real estate, right? He creates prime real estate. If there's a McDonald's there, now it becomes prime real estate. People want to build around him. And I think that's what Burger King did. I think that their business model was the opposite. Go find a McDonald's and build across the street.
I could agree with you on that one.
I want to give like Paul Mitchell, like education, a shout out, because, you know, to give you that opportunity, your story reminds me very much of like Rory's story, because Rory was we had him on the podcast a couple months ago, and same kind of thing. Paul Mitchell called him and said, or Paul Mitchell, you know, a school called him and said, hey, you know, we like what you do. And he did it. And then it changed his whole career as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, I did a few guest artist spots, and they wanted to start their barbering program. And so they brought me back in for an interview. I, of course, had to take a drug test. And obviously, I passed.
Obviously.
Yeah, right. And then I got in there and started teaching. And they asked me to, you know, be featured on their DVD. So I did that. And then they asked me to look over the curriculum. And I looked over the curriculum and rewrote a lot of it and gave my thoughts and ideas and put the pen to the paper, which to me was a career gamble because I've never done something like that before, but I knew I could do it because I had the mindset. I knew that it was a challenge that I was willing to take.
That's awesome. But you also knew if you didn't pass, you'd be sitting in your mom's salon again. What?
Sweeping hair.
Hey, probably. Probably, bro.
Wasn't that much of a gamble then.
Shout out to mom. Right. For real. So sometimes you got to take risks like that because you don't necessarily know, you know, you can take that risk. And if it doesn't become what you think it's going to become, you know what I mean? You'll look back like, wow, 3, 4 years, 5 years gone by and I haven't really gone anywhere. Or you take that risk and you know what? The outcome can be so much greater and farther than I even thought it could be. So taking risks is good, especially with big companies like that.
I'm a risk taker. Not to anybody. If you're not willing to sacrifice and take risks, you really don't want to. You really don't want what you say you want, because that's what it takes. It takes sacrifice to take the risk. And but then also, too, what you're doing is betting on yourself. You're basically telling yourself, like, I refuse to lose to me. Like, the only person I could lose to is me. And so, you know, for me, it was like I knew I had to take this gamble. I knew I had to take this risk because I knew where I wanted to go in this industry.
That's it, man. Right. The Navy SEALs have I'm going to go with another quote. The Navy SEALs have a quote. If you want to overtake an island, burn the boats, right? Burn your escape route. Then you're forced to overtake the there's no retreat, right?
You have to take over. I don't know if I'm burning. I don't know if I'm going to burn my boat though. But,
you just don't want it bad enough, John.
I might want to leave.
Right.
What if I take over one and then I can't get off to go get another one?
Like, dog.
That's not good scaling.
Right. It's not good scaling. You're absolutely correct.
That is so funny. So So as you take over or you help create, education or barbering, what inspires you? What influences you? Where do you kind of pull from?
Honestly, I'm so normal and random, bro. I live a simple life, and my family is what kind of influences me. The people around me that I keep, me and my mom, we speak and we always pour like game into each other. Like I'm the young game, she the old game, And so I've been out in California for almost 2 weeks now, just hanging out at the house with my mom preparing for a photo shoot. And, one day we was talking while I was here and she goes, son, there's valley friends and there's mountaintop friends. And so I think for me, I've been able to keep my valley friends closer than my mountaintop friends. And just being true to who I always been and giving back and helping people. So for me to see somebody else come to me for guidance and I'd be able to help them and watch them flourish, to me, that's what kind of inspires me. That's what motivates me, is just to keep seeing that I could give, as this tree grows, the branches still provide shade for other people.
Mm. I love that. That's deep.
That is deep.
And so many of us, we when we get hungry, we want to pull off an apple off the tree and eat it, right? And but John's here; he's planting seeds so he can feed others when they get hungry. And just Corey and I, we started this podcast because we have a very similar heart to you, where we just want to we love the industry, we want to pour back out into the industry and give back, and that's. Obviously that's what you're doing. You know what I mean? You see in other people, if you can help one person, it gives you enough strength and drive to go to the next mile to help the other person. And were you raised that way? Did your mom pour into you that way? Was she, it takes a special person to be able to do that.
And to be honest, my whole life, people poured into me. People always told me I was going to be great. People always pushed me. Man, I tap danced as a kid. I played the trumpet. I played the piano. I knew how to cook. I was selling sweet potato pies and barbecue dinners when I was like in junior high school. So people always supported and poured into me. And so I think I understood the concept of, man, that's part of being in the people business. Is, some people don't monetarily pay you, but they pay you in other ways. And support is more important than anything else.
Yeah. And I'm with you because, my children, when they were little, I always took them to whether it's a rescue mission or, a soup kitchen or something, to always pour back into people. Or, with the rescue mission, it was great because we would cook for all these men that either just got out of prison or, these out of rehab or something, and now they're getting their lives back together. And we would supply dinner for them once a month, and we would sit down and break bread with them and understand and, have a chance to have conversation with these guys. And so it's very, I always thought it was important to try to pour into my kids how important it is to be able to do stuff like that, because so many, kids, I'm speaking inside my family, that all they do is they want. You know what I mean? It's all about me. It's all about me. And, I try to not have that instilled in my kids.
Yeah. It's the same, man. I teach my kids the same thing. You give more than you take. You can never keep getting deposited without making withdrawals, and you got to always withdraw and deposit into others. So, people think the planting the seed is the most important part, but the most important part is the seed thrower.
Right. Mm. I love that.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'm gonna steal that one.
Go ahead.
Take it. How many kids you got?
I ejected out of me, 3.
Awesome.
But I have a bonus. I have a few bonus daughters. I have a bonus daughter, and then I have bonus kids from a previous marriage. So they all, I took care of them when I was with the mother. And with my wife now, I take care of my daughter Mook like she's mine. So to me, they are my kids, man.
That's awesome, dude.
That's the right thing to do, right?
100%.
touch yeah, just touch.
I think people forget, dog, just because you and the mom don't work out necessarily, like the kid didn't have nothing to do with what you and the mom had to go through. So if you was in that kid's life, majority of their life, why turn your back on that kid now just because you and the mother don't see eye to eye? I think that's bullshit.
Dude, I respect that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Total respect for that.
Completely, because, you know, you kind of, a lot of times in those situations, you just want to forget that entire thing, especially like when you don't have like any like literal blood in the game, right? Like, I can forget about that. But, you know, that's also an adult that you're raising, and that's also a person that you're raising as well. So it is important that they know some kind of structure. And listen, I mean, at the end of the day, what's important is that we maintain positive role modeling, you know, and positive role modeling is to be there when you've been there. Hey, John, next time I see you, you going to tap dance for me?
Nah, bro, them days is over.
Come on, John. Hey, listen, man. If you're listening to this podcast and you ever see John at a show, ask him if he'll tap dance, because
hey,
I don't want to see him do it.
John can't tap. I'm still with that. I barbecue all the time, bro.
No, I had a barbecue competition team. So we, like, at a show, we need to, because, yeah, we'll get Solo Grill involved, and maybe we'll, like, go outside and we'll host a little, some barbecue.
We'll film it and call it content and put that shit out, man. Like, I'm down.
All right.
I love, bro, I love cooking, bro. Like, Sunday is my cook day at the crib. Like, I'm salmon, smoking pork chops, I'm smoking ribs, I'm whatever, I'm down.
With you, man.
Have you ever had smoked boiled eggs?
Nah, no. I'm intrigued. Okay. Do you smoke them in the shell still whole?
Smoke them in the shell still whole.
Are they good? They must be, because you're talking about it.
Phenomenal.
Really? All right. I'm gonna be.
You'll thank me later.
All right. I'm gonna do it this weekend.
You'll thank me later.
So, any tricks or tips that?
Just smoke them.
All right.
For how long? And I gotta think probably about 30 minutes, because it's not like intense heat, but boy, when I'm telling you, after you eat, like, make smoked potato salad with it.
Oh my goodness.
Whole different conversation. Smoked deviled eggs, whole different conversation.
All right, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down. All right. You gotta let me know. You gotta bring me one next week when you come over.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. Like I said, you'll thank me later, bro.
All right. I'm going to be calling up John, man. What else you got on your
Yeah, and you guys definitely have to film it, because we definitely will put up some content with it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Smoking with popular nobody.
Well, that might have a whole nother.
He might lose his job at Paul Mitchell.
Right.
Love it. Hey, all right, John, how'd you come up with the name Popular Nobody?
It wasn't even me. To be honest, it was my boy. One day he was, you know, I've always been quiet. Like, if you notice me, even at shows, I'm quiet. Like, I just do what I do. And if people come up and talk to me, I talk, you know, but I'm not like, I'm just laid back. I should say not quiet. I'm just laid back. And I started out with the Barber JM. And I was like, damn, I'm gonna put myself in a box. And one day my boy was like, dude, your work is everywhere. He was like, you know, photo shoots and this and that. And nobody knows it's you. He was like, you're kind of like a popular nobody. And then that's what we stuck with.
Boom.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that, man.
Organic. It was organic.
Right. Completely. And now you're living it. It's all over the post.
It wasn't forced.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't forced at all.
Yeah, you
I'm just chilling. Because
I want to go back to the barbecue.
I mean, we can stay there a little bit. So John, what's your specialty other than smoked eggs?
Man, I honestly, anything that I could put on the grill, like I do smoked oxtails, anything, bro. You can do a smoked meatloaf. Like, I'm just into the kitchen, like. It takes me away from hair. It gives me an opportunity just to relax and chill and just create in another way.
All right, once we get back live, we will definitely cook at a show, okay?
Well, heck, we could do it right here. We could do it at the next time he's at the temple.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Sharon. We'll set up in the bank parking lot there and let you guys cook it up.
right.
A mean bratwurst, like all kind of stuff. Where
I got my cousin's building me. It's about 4 foot wide, about 4 feet tall. A rotisserie, all like either all wood, charcoal, rotisserie smoker.
Damn.
Yeah.
So in my backyard, I have a smoker, I have a charcoal pit, I have a gas pit, and I have a hibachi table. A hibachi grill, I should say.
Do you have real heat or do you have a Traeger? Do you have a
No, man. I want the real stuff.
Yeah.
Give me the pecan wood. Give me the cherry wood. The wood, not the pellets. Only pellets is for rabbits.
And it looks like it.
Oh, he's in Texas, too. So, yeah, do you do mesquite?
Everything, bro. Hickory, mesquite, pecan.
All right. So I'll have it all set up, man. I'll have real wood. I'll have it all.
Yeah, when we get off, we're gonna have to figure out when you're in town again, John. Yep. We'll make some.
I did. Lots of fun. Have you ever watched the Pitmaster Show?
Always.
All right, so you know who Tuffy and Myron is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I spent a week down at Myron's house cooking. Back in like 2014. Anyways, so we did a competition in right outside of Baltimore, and it's called Bel Air. And it was about 80 teams. Tuffy was there. Myron was there. And it's probably my biggest accomplishment ever. We took first place in brisket, and Tuffy took second. I was like, man. Yeah. So I was like, you know, that was probably the highlight of my life. I was like,
whoa. See, I'm not a brisket eater, so I don't cook brisket. But boy, like I said, if you haven't had smoked oxtails, you are missing.
We'll get together. You give me a list of all the stuff you want me to pick up, and we'll cook it together.
Let's go.
All right.
I'm down. So if you're listening to the podcast, you know, hopefully you're local, so we can pull out a couple of grills and feed some people.
Yep.
Yeah, we could throw out some plates.
There you go.
Hey, you know what, though? And I'm being for real. Like, isn't the Mission right there?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So the Mission that you cook for is right down the street from, maybe we could cook, maybe we could do, you down, John?
I'm down. Four flights on the Cadillac, baby.
Right. So maybe we could arrange it with the Mission, or we could have Sharon arrange it with the Mission, and we could feed some folks.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I'm all in.
All right. That's cool. It. I'm sure Sharon is. I know she'll eat.
Yep.
You know she likes to eat well, too. Her Instagram isn't at McDonald's, you know? So, John, what are your biggest, like, do you have, like, pillars that you live by or pillars that you try to pay forward in your classes or give me some insight? Let's get into the brain a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Really, always remain a popular nobody while staying humble and hungry. You know, when you're humble, everybody want to work with you. When you're hungry, you don't go find it. You don't go hunt for yourself and you don't make things happen. So I think that's the biggest one. And then just knowing and understanding that you can't take life too serious and, you know, laugh, like work your zygomatic muscle, you know what I mean? And just laugh and breathe life into people. Like, that's one of my things, man. I love just having fun with people, love talking crap. I love, like, I bring shop, barbershop life, whatever image that was in everybody else's world that never really entered. I bring that everywhere I go. So I like when I'm at a restaurant, I talk to a waiter or a waitress, I'm engaging with them and I'm having fun with them and making them, you know, because so many people, they go through days where they get yelled at for shit that ain't even their fault. Think about an airplane attendant. Like, she trying to check a ticket, the flight get delayed and they get the blunt of the force of people just nailing them. So I try not to be that guy. I try to just always respect people. I try to always show people grace, and I always try to, you know, hold myself accountable for my actions and my reactions.
Mm. Yeah, grace and mercy, baby.
That's that's certainly like been, you know, part of our practice, I should say, you know, is just to give that grace and to but the most important thing that people don't like to do is to hold themselves accountable to it. You know, like if you messed up, like, how do you rectify the mess up? You know,
man, you gotta look at yourself and ask yourself, was it worth it, or do you want to do better, and how can you do better? And that's the But once you find those answers within yourself, that's shit. That's what you do and keep working.
Yeah. And if you did mess up or you did fail, learn from it. You know what I
mean? That's it. Mm-hmm.
Well, to learn, that's the deal, right? Learn from it and keep moving forward. Yeah. Hey, is it, is it harder when you're educating like veterans, or is it harder when you're educating like the youngins at like the Paul Mitchell schools?
To me, education is not hard because it's just my testimony. It's what I've been through. It's what I've learned. So, for me personally, I don't care who I'm teaching. If it's a group of people that's been in the industry for years, hopefully I can have them walk out of there with a changed perspective on something that they might have done before, or a habit they created, or maybe it's a new technique I show, or just let them know, like, we're all human, right? You know? Yeah, we all need to grow still. Like, I'm up here educating a room full of stylists that have been in the industry 20 plus years, but hey, it's okay. We're all teachers and we're all learners every day. And then when it comes to the students, I hear my class is different. I talk to them a little bit more about life, and I talk to them a little bit about the mindset that it takes to be able to be successful in this industry, more so than I show them my haircutting ability.
Mm. Yeah, that's tight, man. Because it's thoughtful thinking. You know what I mean? That's thoughtful. You already know that, you know, hey, these guys, they've been in it for a while. You know what I mean? I'm going to share me and hopefully something in me that they'll see that might be a little different than what they've kind of created, or, you know, made habits. And, yeah. And if not, cool. You know what I mean? That's cool too.
Yeah. You know, some people, five-star hotels and everything, not for everybody. So sometimes the information that people give out might be too five-star. And people can't receive that. So I always just try to dumb it down. And I dumb it down to whoever I'm speaking to. I need everybody to understand it.
Right. That's pretty cool. Hey, rumor has it that that you may or may not have been responsible for Bryce Harper's mohawk a couple years ago. Do you want to confirm or deny?
I was part of the awesome trio of barbers that got to put our hands on Bryce Harper's mohawk.
And he was
that is a confirm.
He was with the Nationals, right?
He was with the Nats. So shout out all the Nats, Gio Gonzalez, former Nats, Gio, Danny, Ian, Denard, Bryce, all those guys.
Yeah, we miss all those guys, man, because, you know, here we are in D.C., and none of those guys are with the team anymore.
Yeah, but when Bryce did leave, we did win a World Series.
Yeah, that may have happened, John. That may have happened.
Hey, y'all got to take that up with him.
I just want to thank him.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, you know what? The truth is as much crap as Bryce takes when the Nats finally did win the World Series, Bryce was like, I thought he was super cool about it. You know, and they try to, you know, people try to put pressure on, like, they want it without you. And he's like, man, I'm just happy for my friends. Those are my friends that just won the World Series, you know? So I'm just happy for them.
You know what it is? And I asked Danny on my podcast when I interviewed him, I asked him, I said, hey, Danny, what was it like playing against Mike Trout, playing with Mike Trout and playing with Bryce Harper, like two different type of baseball players? And he goes, well, Bryce, the difference between Bryce is that he had a target on his back from day one. Like, and he had to embrace being the villain at such a young age. Where Mike Trout came in, that target wasn't as bad on him as it was on Bryce. It wasn't like, you know, Mike Trout was on the cover of all these Sports Illustrated and all of this as a 14-year-old going up and coming in at 18 and you just making millions of dollars. He was like, so, you know, Bryce, that's the difference. Like Mike Trout, you'll never see really like how generous this guy really is and what he does for the team, where Bryce just had to accept his villain role, even though he might have not been a villain.
Right. Oh, wow. That's a really good point, actually, you know, because Bryce didn't have. But at the same time, though, I mean, he asked for a lot of that attention, too, right? I mean, hence the mohawk.
Yeah, the bat flips, bat flips, the mohawks, the taunting after he just roped one. Yeah. Like, yeah, you kind of ask for it, but at the same time, it's like.
But you know what, John? Hold on. Let's not forget that he's 18. right? Like, if
right.
I
was a kid
at 18, like, it'd be, people wouldn't think the same, I hope, about me.
Yeah. You know? He's like, think about it. Think about what you did at 18 and the stupid, foolish stuff you did at 18. But you just didn't even have the meetings this guy had, nor the you had the community spotlight. He had the world spotlight. You know, so it's like everybody at 18 years old gonna do some stupid shit. And it's just like, yo, who, what camera seen it?
Right. Well, frankly, you're supposed to do dumb stuff when you're 18. You know, that those are part of those are part of the mistakes of life that, that you have to work out. If you didn't make any mistakes at 18, you would never you'd never be a better person. Right.
No, you wouldn't grow.
Right. Exactly.
You know, imagine being the same person at 40, at 18.
I think that's the great Muhammad Ali quote, isn't it? Muhammad Ali said, if you're the same person at 50 that you were at 20, you wasted 30 years of your life.
I said the same thing in the Instagram post. I said, if you've been in business 10 years doing the same thing in year 10 that you did in year one, you only been in business 1 year.
Mm. There's some truth to that.
It is true.
Absolutely is.
So we've been in business for 1 year.
We've been in business for about 6 months. That is so
thanks, <That's> John.
Hey, man. My bad.
Oh, God, that's crazy. That's crazy. John, do you have any like parting words or any kind of advice to move forward with?
One, I want to shout out Paul Mitchell. They named me the artistic director for the whole JPMS, one of the artistic directors for the JPMS company. So shout out to them. That's much appreciated for the opportunity and the faith and trust that they believe that I could keep doing what I do on the next part of my journey. Shout out my wife. Shout out my kids. And, you know, my whole family, everybody that held me down and helped me out when I got these crazy thoughts and crazy ideas. Shout out to my whole circle, you know. And then parting words is, man, never give up. Never stop believing in yourself. Never stop pushing yourself to the limit. You never know how far you could get if you just honestly dig deep. And don't worry about looking at somebody else's success and saying, why I'm not there. Go get there and go past that person. And it's all determined by how much you want it. If you want it, you're going to go get it. And if you don't want it, then stop saying you want it because you're confusing everybody around you. So if you don't want pressure from the outside people, then don't tell people what your vision is and just go make your vision happen. And so if I could give anybody those words, that'll be that. And, you know, no matter gay, lesbian, straight, transgender, nothing. Like, if people don't like you for who you are, they don't need to be around you. It's your life. It's your bubble. You live in your world. And I'm going to quote Scott Cole. He said, yeah, you can live in your box as long as the world is your box. That's and so, you know, that, you know, just be happy. Man, don't jeopardize your happiness for somebody else's ego.
Mm. I love that.
Spot on, brother. So how can our listeners find you, follow you, be a part of what you're doing?
I got a couple ways. They can find me on Instagram @popular_nobody. You can find me on my podcast, Spotify, Apple, all of those, Google Play, the Apex Podcast. And then the website, www.thepopularnobody.com.
Are there other popular nobodies?
Man, you know, I'm starting to see a lot of people jump up and try to put their names in.
Your nobodies and make it somebodies.
Yeah, it's cool because I got some legal stuff going to make sure that don't happen. But it's weird, man. I've just seen somebody in Atlanta had it, somebody in San Antonio, Texas had it, and I'm like, wow, man, this is really. And then, yeah, it's just funny. I think it's flattering that somebody would think that my name was that important to use it. So I appreciate the free promo, guys.
But I'm coming for my name,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like, I appreciate you guys' support. Thanks for building free merch for me.
Right. And that's it. Awesome. John, the popular nobody Mosley, thank you very much for hanging out with us, and thank you for joining us on your day off. Please do me good.
Hey, hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a five-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.